hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday here in the city. Not quite as cold as it has been as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. The best place to be during the holidays is around here. There's all kinds of holiday shows going on. We've talked about many of the holiday shows coming up, you know, Christmas Carol. Well, if you've been listening, you've heard about all of them. More to bring your way. More holiday events to come. Glad to bring it your way as we're now 2 weeks away from the magical day of Christmas, which means, of course, it's on a Monday. So once again, and this has happened many times through the years, I'll be on the air on Christmas morning. So we'll see what we do on that day. We always try to do something a little offbeat. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Things are in the planning. The giggle you hear in the background, Valerie Mackey, she is here once again. They do a wonderful Christmas show every year over at Theater for Young America, a theater that her family founded.
That's
many,
right.
Many years ago.
Back in 1974, you know, before I was born. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no. I'll go along with anything. I'll just nod and go along with it.
Thank you. You're very
anything
kind.
You want to say. But you had to have been really young, even if you were.
I was fairly young. Yeah. You know, I was running around at that time. It was, we were over at the Waldo Astoria. So I would run around with the Hoochies over there. I would usher at the nighttime shows. Oh. And I'd run into Dick or Dennis's office and, or Sarah, Sarah Hennessy, and I'd visit with her in the box office. And so I was fairly young.
So got into the basics of theater as well as the business part, obviously, of the,
right.
the business. Quite young.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I grew up watching everybody do their thing and do it well. I would sit behind as, you know, either Richard or Dennis were directing or working with people, and I'd sit behind Molly Jessup or, you know, all these really, truly great people. And then I was a child when I started working with, you know, some of the greatest actors in Kansas City. So,
Have over the years.
Yeah.
She's also quite the singer. She is in two singing groups that I know of, and she's also the music director at Unity.
At Unity of Kansas City North. Mm-hmm. And we have an awesome music department up there. A great group that really stays really close. And then I bring a lot of actors from Kansas City up to sing, which is great because, you know, it's about telling the story, telling different stories. You know?
She has traveled the country with Menopause the Musical. Anything else I don't know about?
Oh, I don't know. I used to do a lot of jingles. I haven't done as many jingles recently. I guess I've gotten older. But I'm going to Myrtle Beach in January with Menopause. And so that's fun.
Yeah. Well, the way it is made, I know we're supposed to talk about theater for anyway.
Well, we can. Yeah, we'll get
to it was explained to me by some of the other ladies that have been in the show that everything is the same.
It is.
So you into a show in another city, even if it's on an emergency basis, works.
It works, you know, because I've been in a show where I didn't even work with the soap star before we got on stage. And she just came in that afternoon. We went on stage and you know, I was just going along and doing the show, and suddenly I turned to her and I was like, whoa, who are you? But she was in her spot and doing, you know, pretty much the same thing. We breathe life into it with our own, like, if, well, you know, Terry Adams, she brings her own special brilliance to Iowa Housewife. You know, she's infused with her humor, which is, it's amazing. I love working on stage with her.
Val has appeared at many of the theaters in town. The old American Heart. I say old. It's only been gone a few years. American Heartland Theater.
Oh, I loved performing there. And the Unicorn.
Even though the Coterie is probably the competition, you've been there.
I have. I've done shows over there.
The Unicorn, your own theater. Where all else?
Well, you know, I've performed around the world. I was, you know, in different things for different odd. You know, in theater, when you're in theater, you do these strangest things. I was the Kansas City Elvira, so they would dress me up, trump up my body, you know, and there I would traipse around town performing, or just appearing as Elvira. And so we do weird things. And then singing, you do weird things. Like I've done I did backup for some really great singers, mm-hmm. and that's always fun to just step into a crazy show and just sing and do it. Sure. And I love Kansas City Theater. I have gone over to the living room and I taught a class over there with Bob Linebarger and Rusty, and they are great people. And so I have my fingers around different places. I directed for Ron McGee at Late Night Theater, and so I go around and I support everybody. Like, I just saw Heidi Van's show last night of 12th Place of Christmas. That lady is dynamic and hysterical. Her brain is fun.
Have you ever done Expiring Minds?
I did not. That was Val Fagan. Oh, okay. Val Fagan and Missy Koontz and Cheryl Benge. I wanted to, but, you know, I love my theater. I love Theater for Young America. I love our audiences. I love, you know, that some, now we have people coming back with their great grandchildren and to see the shows, and they recognize me. I talk to them, you know, it's kind of fun, you know, going to different places. I'll be at a restaurant and somebody say, "Oh, my kids came to you for years," and blah, blah, blah. I love that.
And people recognize you that you don't even remember.
Oh, right.
You probably
absolutely
caught them years before.
I recognize them kind of. Yeah. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, here in radio, nobody knows about me.
Right.
Facebook kind of changed that, I found.
Right.
Val is the artistic director of Theater for Young America. Her folks started it, of course, mm-hmm. as we touched on earlier. She grew up. They do many things. They have a regular schedule of shows. They have classes. They have touring shows.
Uh-huh.
I just made notes as I was going along. 7 plays, 200 performances every year.
Oh, yeah.
A full schedule of activities and workshops. 400,000 attendees each year.
Oh, yeah. You know, we stay pretty busy. And because we will go to, like, we'll go to Wyandotte and all the Kansas City, Kansas early childhood from the elementary schools will come and to see the show. And then we tour around with different shows. So we get to see a lot of people in the area and kind of around, which is great. I love going back to schools that we went to a few years ago. And, oh, we get to see this show. My brother saw it 2 years ago. And so, I mean, you know, and you said something about the Coterie. I think the Coterie and I are in Theater for Young America. We have a really great working relationship. Jeff is a good friend, and I've done shows over there. We talk about kind of what we're doing and make sure that we're serving our community who are theater goers. We support theater in Kansas City. And so we have different offerings that bring different people out. They usually skew a little older, not at Christmas time, but and then we skew a little younger, you know.
Yeah. It all makes for a fun entertainment. And around the holidays here, probably attendance is even probably further up than it would be any other time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know they have great marketing over there. And so they and their show is adorable. A bunch of my good friends are in the show. In fact, I saw Hollis last night and he's enjoying playing Pigpen over there, but he'll be back over at Theater for Young America in the spring. So that's always fun.
Actors move back and forth. I was discussing that at a holiday gathering I was at last night. The actors move around from show to show. And
there's really no competition. There's no, like, animosity towards any other. It's like, hey, I support what you're doing. And plus we're in a space that has different theaters come in. KCAT comes in, Kansas City Actors Theater, and that's great. And we have a great relationship with them. Some of our designers work both places. And so I love this utopia of this community of theater. where we know and love each other and support each other.
So the Theater for Young America is there during the day.
That's right.
At night, it magically transforms into KCAT or whatever production
is
there.
Yeah, about two or three times a year they come in. They come in January and then in August. And
so you probably find some interesting props backstage sometimes.
Yes. Well, actually, theirs is pretty normal. And it's our stuff that's quite odd.
Val is, I'm guessing, directing Raggedy Ann and Andy's Christmas Adventure, the holiday offering over at Theater for Young America.
Oh my goodness, it's so adorable. It's in an oversized set that Eric Van Horn built with with oversized props, so the all of the actors in it look like smaller toys. Oh. Of course, a couple of them are pretty small. It's Steven Eubank and Kira Weinberger, who are Raggedy Ann and Andy. Oh, and they make just so dear. I think Raggedy Ann is what we need right now in this world of crazy, is that she brings the love of her heart and common sense to everything she does.
I think everyone knows who they are. Ann and Raggedy Andy. All of the different plays have of course, a similar theme, but a different storyline. And
yeah.
What is the Christmas adventure that Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy have this year?
Well, they're in dire circumstances. The family has gone to Cleveland for the holidays to visit Uncle Marvin. And and they're left alone in the house, and it's dark and it's cold, and they can see, we have a large oversized window that they look out of, and they see everybody else is celebrating. Oh, and then the Dutch doll, which is Victoria Barbie, and then the tin soldier, which is John Mulvey, they come out and say, oh, this is the worst Christmas ever. And so Raggedy Ann goes on an adventure to try to save Christmas for them, or save the holidays. We do mention other holidays, of course. We talk about just this holiday time. So they want to find the magical burning stick. So they got to get them from the Hooly Ghoulies. And but then there's a witch who's trying to foil their plans, and a policeman who helps them, and the nice policeman is Coleman Crenshaw, and he's amazing. And then he is one of the greatest actors in town. And and then of course the witch is played by the one and only Cheryl Bryant Mackey.
Oh. your mom wanted to play the witch.
Yeah, it's fun directing your mom.
Well, she directed you probably many times.
Well, no,
my
dad was always the director. Oh, yeah, she's the educator. So, but
I remember her seeing the spider. Oh, what was it called?
Charlotte's Web.
Yeah, I remember her seeing that. I remember her starring in that years ago.
You know, my father and I were talking the other day about, I've talked about all the different parts that I've gone into that she once played. And really, when I step into the part, I'm just imitating her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's really brilliant on stage. When she gets on stage, she might be, walking around with not too much energy. And then she gets on stage and she lights up like a light bulb. In fact, she got a review once that said she hopped around the stage as if fed on rabbit stew, which I think kind of is fitting. She's so vibrant, and people are just drawn to her, and the kids love the witch, you know, and so it's very wonderful, and it's wonderful to see her on stage, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
You do a lot of historical things. I should get back to Raggedy Ann and Andy, but yeah. You do a lot of historical things. The Harriet Tubman play.
Yeah, you know, that's a popular show. Gene wrote that. My father wrote that. And it is, you know, it's a really, the story talks from her childhood, what kind of made her who she was. She couldn't be in the house because of her larger hands, but then her father identified that her hands were good for the outside work and doing, you know, chopping wood. But yet then she falls in love with a man and marries him. And I love the decision in there when she decides that her universal role was more important than her role as a wife. Yeah. And she decided to leave. And then in doing that, she saved all of these people. So I love the approach of going deeper into the story to understand why, more than just telling the story. It really, you know, it seals it in these children's minds, makes it more real, more approachable. They're real people that went through this. They're not just a, you know, just, oh, she's different because she's Harriet Tubman. No, she's a real person who had choices to make, and we go through her story with her. And, yeah, it's really great.
I remember in grade school, they took us to, at the time, it was the Little Theater downtown.
Yes.
And I remember seeing many plays there over the years. I assume you get school groups as well?
We do. That's our main thing, our school groups. You know, and we have a great relationship with teachers and educators around that. You know, I meet with some of the Kansas City, Kansas teachers and say, hey, what books are required? What would give you a month of working on things in your classroom that then you could come and see it brought to life on stage? And I love what they tell me because it's always a surprise. Some things, this was kind of a gamble, Raggedy Ann and Andy. It's not particularly read as much. A lot of people don't remember it. Now, people my age do. And so I kind of was banking on these grandparents coming in and exposing their children to Raggedy Ann and Andy. Now, I've been surprised with a lot of young people walking in with their Raggedy Ann and Andys.
Oh,
and
really?
In fact, there was a young man who came on Saturday and he had two Raggedy Andys with him. And he was about, he was a little older, and I thought, that's awesome. And he said, Andy was my favorite. You know? And Stephen is so dear as Raggedy Andy, and I kind of dressed him more like a sailor, you know, so I adjusted the costumes to make him, I don't know, just a little more boyish, kind of, uh-huh. You know. And
I know people rip off Raggedy Ann and Andy because when I was a child, how long is the statute of limitations on shows that are not copyrighted? They steal the idea. I was in it was called Raggedy Ann and Andy in the Wild Wild West.
Oh,
and there was no such play that. The lady who's the director, and if you're listening, I'm not going to out you. If you're still alive, I hope you are, but I don't know. She wrote the adaptation herself.
Yeah.
And I was the sheriff, and we saved Raggedy Ann and Andy in the Wild Wild West.
Oh, I love it.
But people do things like that. And for the publisher, it has to be a nightmare to keep track of these things. But.
Well, I'm sure. You know, this is the old original books. Are actually in public domain.
Oh.
So.
Well, maybe she's not.
Maybe she's okay
maybe she's
then.
Maybe she's not an outlaw anymore.
My friend Sean McCall, who runs the Old Creamery up in Iowa, he did this play a few years ago. So up there, he does a lot of we share a lot of shows, you know.
Well, you always have a lot of fun with your shows. One of the things I always found the most interesting was the questions from the kids afterwards.
Oh, my goodness.
There were some very interesting questions asked some of the times that I was
there. Oh, yes. Are you really brother and sister? Is she really your child? You know, is that your nose? And you go, well, yeah, this really is my nose. But... you know, maybe there's a little makeup on it or something. But
sure.
Cheryl's wearing a kind of a witch nose. And so I think she's gotten that question a few times. Yeah. That she's added.
So is Raggedy Ann and Andy their Christmas adventure. And it sounds like it's quite an adventure.
Oh, it is. And they create the deep, deep woods right there in the toy room with their imagination.
Shows go on now through December 30th. Mm-hmm. So even a little past Christmas, some of the shows... they have an end date of the 24th, I've noticed. You go on a little past that.
We do. We find that a lot of people after the holidays need something to do that next week. And their family is in town and they're coming up to Union Station, which is so beautiful right now. I mean, it's beautiful all the time. Oh, my goodness. Walking in Union Station fills my spirit. But yeah. And they can come up there, go to Science City or go see a movie. We've got you know, the new Star Wars coming out Friday. So and then come to a show and stuff. So
yeah, I don't want to let time get away from us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's 23 past the hour. We're just chit-chatting
you
our
know,
time
I'm
away.
Babbler.
But you have a full schedule.
We do.
During the year.
I love our spring shows. We're doing Junie B. Jones is not a crook. Junie B. Jones is, oh my goodness. She's hilarious. She's my spirit animal. And Kira will play Junie B. again. And then we have Goldilocks and the Three Bears, which my dad wrote. He dedicated that one to me, his own Goldilocks living her dream. Okay. You know. But you know what? I've never played the part.
Well.
Because I've always been too old to make her.
Well, you do an all-adult version.
Okay,
I've seen things like that, and they work.
Danny Cox and my mom and I, we tour around a preschool touring show, and I get to play Goldilocks in that, so I get to sing the song.
You can learn about some of these things if you check out their website, tya.org. The number to call, by the way, for more information is 816-460-2083. They are located in the City Stage Theater in Union Station, the level where the movie theaters are, in another section of the building. That's where it is. 330 West Pershing Road is the actual address for Union Station. People don't know that it actually has an address. Is it Suite 800 where the theater is, or is that an office somewhere else in the building?
That's an office. We're right backstage left.
Well, they're at level B in Union Station. When people ask me things, they will ask me about, well, when are the actual performances. There's a full schedule. You're mostly, what, 10 a.m., noon?
10 a.m. and noon. And then on the weekends, it's 2 and 4 on Saturdays for this show.
When is the best time for them to call and make arrangements to come? I know some of the shows are probably already completely sold out.
You can do it online, or you can just call our box office. Really, 9 to 4, you could call during the day. And you can leave a message, or you can send an email. Actually, we have a lot of people reserving their tickets, especially groups, by email. Yeah. You know, we're in a new electronic age, so.
Can they do it directly at the website?
They sure can.
They sure can.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing that these days.
I know it.
And you do it as well. TYA.org to look at the full schedule of events, which include touring shows. They'll go to your school.
Yes.
Classes, of course. Classes start at different staggered times, I know.
Yeah, it's hard Tuesdays to keep track of that. And Saturdays are our times. Yeah,
you have taught the young man, and I wish I could remember his name, but I'm blanking on it. Did a show on TBS a few years ago.
Oh.
He came on the show.
John Lear? Or
yes.
John,
yeah. His mother was the well-known activist. She has since passed away.
Yes.
But he came on the show and talked about that. Was involved with the writing, but actually starred in this show. And in the course of our conversation, was trained by you. And he asked me at one point, he said, oh, are they still around?
Oh, my goodness.
Said, yes. Why don't you just go over there and say hi? I don't know if he did.
And that's funny, because I've talked to him. He sent over a video for our anniversary, our 40-year anniversary a few years ago. But I think, you know, he's in the big bad world now, you know. But I've talked to him every now and then.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And Matt Vogel is now the voice of Kermit. Did you know? He's now Kermit.
Oh, well, good.
And he grew up at the theater, too.
Yeah, so. You've trained so many people over the years.
I know. A lot of them working around, like Matt Rapport now does the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival Education. Kara Armstrong over at KCYA at Kansas City Young Audiences. You know, like I said, we're a family. We are a family of theater people.
Yeah. Let's start young with you, so you have a chance to mold them. What do you look for in a young person?
That's interesting you say that, because there is a moment when you look at them and you go, yep, they've got it. It's that jump between being cute on stage and really performing and really being present. And you see them with their craft. It just comes innately, or they've already had parents who've nurtured it. But it is a wonderful thing when you see that difference. And I've been the I've been on the receiving end of watching that so many times, and every single time it's magic to me.
Well, theater is supposed to be magic, and if you can make it real for those young people, you've hooked them in forever. I mean, from the ones I saw when I was in grade school, I guess I was late doing a play, 11. I did my first play at 11.
Wow.
And you're hooked ever since. You can't always do it as a profession, like Val, but you can do other things that are associated with it, and it's a lifelong addiction. And addiction is the right word, because as I've said before, there is no cure. You just have to learn to live with it. Because there is no cure.
No. I know. I just talked to a mother the other day. She's like, okay, my daughter says this is all she's going to do. And I said, well, okay. Then this, she's
last
stuck.
Words. Yeah. Famous last words. A full look at the schedule Val probably has. Do you want to hit any highlights before we go?
Oh, I don't know. I'm excited about Peter Pan in the summer, too. Oh, wow. But, you know,
you're going to fly her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, so we're working with Daniel on that, we'll just fly her. Actually, just Peter Pan. So,
well, I say her because it's usually played.
It's usually
by a
girl.
It's usually played by a woman.
Yes,
but the full complement of shows throughout the year, as well as the touring shows and all of that, can be found at their website, TYA, which of course stands for Theater for Young America. TYA.org. The number to call is 816-460-2083. They perform at the City Stage Theater at Union Station. Usually it's 10 a.m. and noon, and on other days, other times as well.
Yeah, Saturdays 2 and 4, you know, and 10 a.m. is our main time. But Fridays we have a 10 and noon. Thursdays and Fridays at 10 and noon.
Okay, you can get all this straight by going to the website or calling the box office, and they'll set you straight.
Right.
I'm sure they can do that as well. But the current show through the holiday season, and it runs through the 30th, so time to see it even after Christmas. Raggedy Ann and Andy's Christmas Adventure runs through December 30th at the City Stage Theater in Union Station in the day. Theater for Young America at night, whatever they have scheduled.
We have some dance groups. It'll be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the props left backstage are a story within herself.
Yes.
I'm sure for all that. Valerie Mackey has been with us, and I've run over 12:30, so I have to say goodbye, which is too bad because I love talking to her.
I love talking to you, too. Yeah. Thank you so much.
It's so much fun. Raggedy Ann and Andy, it's Christmas Adventure, now through December 30th at the Theater for Young America. The number to call, 816-460-2083, or online at TYA.org. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Michael. I just love you.
An institution of many years now in the city, and we're not trying to age Val.
Oh.
Maybe your folks.
age them. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks so much for being with us. We don't talk often enough. We really don't. We're going to take a brief break. When we return, well, we're going to hear about the Brown Bag concerts that they have in Westport, and there's one coming up this Friday when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM. Thank you very much, Mr. Grigsby. Nice to hear your voice, even though you've passed away. I keep some of those IDs, even though some of the people who recorded them have passed away, because it reminds us of our history, where we have been, where we are going. As well, we're going to talk next about the Westport Center for the Arts. They do those series of brown bag concerts here in Westport, and it's always interesting. It's always wonderful. They have a holiday program. I should say a holiday program. It's called Noel Noel. And with us to tell us all about it is one Leslie Wood, the artistic director of Ignea Strata. They're the group who is going to be singing. It's going to be this Friday, the 15th of December at 12:10 p.m. And it has been explained before, it's so people having lunch can go to the concert. So if your lunch break starts at 12 o'clock noon, you have 10 minutes to get over to the Westport Presbyterian Church. And then the show will end probably a little before 1. Plenty of time to get back to work. Bring your brown bag lunch. They probably also have things for sale down there. I don't know. But you can attend that. And this year's holiday concert is Ignea Strata, a Kansas City-based vocal Quartet, and Leslie Wood, the artistic director of Igne Estrada, is with us. Welcome to the Arts Magazine Show. I've never talked to you on the air before over the years.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. It's good to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you with us as well. I'm going to get you on the right microphone here. I had Val on a different microphone, so we can now hear you much
better. All right,
better.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
It's my pleasure. Those brown bag concerts have become quite popular over the years.
Yeah, good. We're really excited to be on it. It's our first time with the brown bag series. And we're just thrilled to be a part of it.
Yeah, when you hear brown bag, you think, oh, well, that's kind of at the bottom of the totem pole. Not at all. They have some very fine presentations throughout the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect to set a concert right in the middle of the day so people can just relax, reset during their lunch break. It's convenient, it's casual, it's kind of perfect, bringing the music to the people in the easiest possible way.
Well, tell us first about Igne Estrada, the group you're with. There's four of you. It's a quartet, so obviously there's four of you.
Yeah, there's four of us. So we have been doing concerts, singing together as Igne Estrada for about a year. We're coming up on our anniversary in January. But the four of us have known each other quite a bit longer. We're all professional singers, and, it's hard to make a living as a full-time singer. So one thing that most singers end up doing is taking church jobs, and that's actually how we met. For a certain period, all four of us were singing as section leaders for the same church. And we just found that we worked really well together. We liked each other's voices. We liked the way each other approached the music, and it just seemed like a natural fit. So after, after a few years of doing that, it just seemed like time to start our own group.
Yeah. And I guess the next decision would be, what kinds of things do we sing and why? So tell the audience what you decided on.
Yeah, well, we specialize particularly on early music. So we do music from the medieval and Renaissance periods primarily. We also do a lot of contemporary music. I'm a composer, and all four of us have a lot of connections with contemporary classical music in general. So I kind of think of us as a bookends group, early music and contemporary, and we really focus on just the way that our voices work together. So as far as early music goes, there's a lot of polyphonic music. So polyphonic meaning that the voices come in and out and they're not lined up. You know, the opposite of polyphonic would be homophonic, like the way hymns move every voice together all the time, where polyphony is, you know, Palestrina and Josquin, and just these waves of sound where the voices weave in and out to create this whole overall texture. And that's something that all of us really love to do. Two of our singers have particularly, big, powerful operatic voices. But when we sing together, it's really nice to be able to just use a different sound and express the music in a much more intimate way.
Yeah, it's, you have to decide, I guess, what you're doing. Are you going for a big sound? You're going for a softer sound? Sounds like a combination for Igne Estrada.
Yeah, I think our group is really unique in that we all four of us have pretty distinct voices. You wouldn't have a hard time telling apart the four of us and our voices. But we also each have this sense of how to bring it together, how to create really stunning unisons. I think that's one of the things that's most astounding when I listen to our recordings and when I hear us, just how unified four such different sounds can be. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, when you hear us, all four of us singing these different lines, weaving in and out, there's a lot of texture, there's a lot of variety in the sound, and a lot of different nuance. Works really well.
I guess the key is how to blend those music, the sounds, not the music, but the voices. How to blend those voices properly to make it sound as well as it could sound.
Yeah,
and that's probably a challenge.
It can be. Yeah, I'm pleased to say that the four of us have sung together for a long time. We're all very familiar with the kind of music that we're singing, and so it's pretty second nature now.
Yeah. So I guess for this holiday concert, which will be this Friday, December 15th at 12:10 p.m. And if you just tuned in, the time is sounds unusual, but that's because of the lunchtime concert, which it is. So it's at the Westport Presbyterian Church, 201 Westport Road. That's the church that that had the fire several years ago. It's been fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe.
Yeah.
They're having the concerts there again. They still had their concerts, by the way. They were just at different venues around the Westport area. But they're back in the Presbyterian Church, and it'll start at 12:10 p.m. So if your lunch break comes at 12 o'clock noon, you have 10 minutes to get over to the Westport Presbyterian Church, and they may hold a curtain for a few minutes for you. And then it'll probably end a little before 1. And then you'll have plenty of time to get back. That's the nature mm-hmm. of these brown bag concerts. And this year it's Ignea Strata. The theme of the concert is Noel Noel. And I'm going to assume it's a mix of medieval style and contemporary. And, well, why don't you address that?
Yeah, so this concert is, as you say, it's a good mix. We have some traditional carols that were set by the, everyone's heard of the composer Gustav Holst, his famous British composer. His daughter was also a composer, Imogen Holst, and she arranged these beautiful settings for women's voices of traditional carols. So things like In Dulce Jubilo and God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. So we have six of her carols scattered throughout the program, and they're kind of bookended by these more polyphonic works from the medieval and Renaissance and Baroque periods.
Uh-huh.
So we have John Tavener's Audivi. It's an Advent hymn, and it's incredibly beautiful. It starts with these really long, luscious lines, and then there's this Gregorian chant right in the middle. Give our audiences a good chance to hear our unison. But then other polyphonic works, we're doing Palestrina, and as far as Baroque, we have two little Monteverdi miniatures. Most people are more familiar with Monteverdi as an early great opera composer. So this is a little different. This is the kind of music that you would not normally associate Monteverdi with. They're small trios, very short, very cute, but these little polyphonic carols by Monteverdi. And then the final set of pieces in the concert, and where we took the name Noel, Noel, is we're doing this set of three French Noels. And they're incredibly beautiful. Eustache de Caroy, Antoine Bunois, and Jean Mouton. So they're Renaissance and medieval composers. And all of these pieces are, they just feel very French, very, they're just gorgeous, archaic, beautiful. I think that's my favorite set of the whole.
As she was talking about those numbers, she smiled and her eyes lit up. So obviously they mean something to you.
They do mean something to me. I'm a little biased with the early French music. That's what I study. I'm a musicologist. I'm working on my PhD at KU right now, and that's my area of study is French medieval music. So it's close to my heart for sure. And my colleagues in Ignea Strata have certainly indulged me. We have done a lot of medieval French music and bringing to light lots of works that are not well known.
Concert will be this Friday, the 15th. Seldom heard Baroque. Two pieces. Why did I write down two pieces? Is that all that's involved with the accompaniment?
Well, the Baroque is, there's only two Baroque pieces. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that'll be happening at the starting at 12:10 p.m. on Friday. We talked about the other folks in the group in general. Do you want to name them specifically?
Absolutely.
Tell a little bit about where on the range they are, perhaps?
Yeah. So Lucy Conklin and myself, Leslie Wood, we are the sopranos in the group. And then Kirsten Hyde and Joanna Ellers are the altos. All four of us have our music degrees. We sing locally with other groups as well. And it's really, you know, I talked a little bit before about the different quality of all of our voices. And I think just to go back to how special the mix is between the four of us, you know, our altos are the ones with the larger voices. And, you know, if they were singing opera, they'd probably both be characterized at least as mezzos, if not sopranos. And so they have these big, beautiful, glorious instruments. But as part of that, they have these really deep, rich, warm middle voices. So Joanna in particular, Joanna Ellers, is our low alto, and she really functions as the bass of the group. She has an incredible range and such depth and power. It's really unusual to hear an alto with so much quality and focus of tone, especially in the deep lower ranges. Lucy Conklin, our high soprano, she has this very, again, it's a focused tone at the very top that just rings out. And I would say those two bring a real quality of focus to our sound, that they are able to get tones that just pierce the soul, you know? And then Kirsten Hyde, our alto one, and then I am the second soprano. The two of us, I would characterize our voices as much warmer. We have much softer edges around the voice. Kirsten likewise has this beautiful, deep, rich lower tone that's so warm and just envelops you. And then I, similar to Lucy, you know, I'm a high soprano, so I have a lot of clarity up in my higher voice, but in the middle range, there's just a rounder tone. And so the four of us, I think it's a really magical combination because we have focused voices that can really pierce through the texture and just enliven the sound, and then these other two voices that are just so warm and just envelop everything in this nice, rich color. It's hard to describe without coming, so everyone should come to the concert so they can hear.
Oh, obviously. December 15th at the Westport Presbyterian Church. That's the church that had the fire a few years ago. It's restored. It's open again. That's where the concert will be. It's located at 201 Westport Road. Westport Center for the Arts website is wcakc.org. Plenty of information there. We're speaking with Leslie Wood, the artistic director of the group Ignea Strata. They are the ones that are presenting the concert this Friday. You mentioned earlier, oh, you opened a can of worms when you said it. You probably are going to regret having said it, that you composed.
Yes.
So I always have questions, of course. I remember a famous gentleman, and if I could think of the name, I would. He was married to Joan Collins for a time, known for, he had a partner, but he composed. He went on a talk show and talked about the process by doing that. Mm-hmm. Now, he revealed that he actually hires a person to sit at the piano and try out things for him as he sings and tries out words and tries out melodies. That sounds very complicated. I would think in our modern era with computers, you could probably do that yourself on your laptop. But the process of composing, now, it may sound like a silly question to some people, but that has never stopped Michael from asking questions before. So what comes first? Do you have words and you try to find a melody to match that? Do you just go for the melody? You know, some, especially some of the Middle Ages type music probably didn't have words. It probably only had melodies. How does it work for you?
Well, for me, because I started out as a singer, I naturally gravitate toward text. So I really love having a text to set, and that is what gets my imagination flowing. But I generally start with an idea. So I don't hire anyone at the piano. I'm not a very good pianist, but I muddle through it myself, just testing out different motives, different sounds, different ideas. And from there, fleshing out the harmonies and the way that the themes need to work, you know, I expand out from there, developing the themes through a lot of different, you know, just varying it, seeing how things will work together, seeing the overall arc of what I want to finish with and how I need to develop the work so that it makes sense and cohesive and then can come back to something meaningful at the end. I do work with a computer, but I usually start with just pencil and paper, flesh out all my ideas there before I go into using notation.
So the melody comes into your head, then you, of course, break it down to the notes that it is, and you go from there.
Yeah.
Sounds difficult, if not impossible.
Well, I suppose anything that comes naturally to one person sounds difficult to somebody else. There are plenty of things that I can't do, like dance or play basketball. That sound incredibly difficult to me.
Basketball is much easier.
Oh, no, not for me. That's for sure.
Yes. Just sounds about like the most difficult thing in the world to do.
Well, you know, it's a process, and sometimes it's a frustrating process, but in general, I feel like there are things that we can express musically that just can't be spoken. I don't think of myself as a very well-spoken person, so sometimes when I need to express myself, music is the easiest way to do it. And it's been wonderful to me to have opportunities lately where I can express and where I can get my music performed and hear it in real life and use that to communicate with other people, with the performers, with the audience, with anyone who becomes involved. It's a very communal process, even though, even if I'm the composer, it's never just about me. It always involves anyone who in any way interacts with my music.
Do you write for a particular voice in mind?
It depends on who I'm working with. You know, if I have performers in mind, then I take into account their particular instruments, but not necessarily, you know.
Yeah. But just imagine this, folks, saying, well, I have to write a song today.
Yeah.
How do we start? Just sounds like the most difficult thing in the world today. At least in other writings, you have a subject, you know. I have to write an essay on whatever. Mm-hmm. At least you have somewhere to start. In music, you could start anywhere.
You could start anywhere, but it's always helpful to give yourself a subject, you know, which is one reason why I really like setting text. You have a subject there in front of you that, how do I express these words in sound? Or, you know, the process of who you're writing for also, you know, right now I'm working on a percussion quartet and knowing what instruments I need to use and how the different instruments are going to interact with each other sets a framework for what the music needs to do. So there's always a context. There's always a structure before I go in to start writing something.
I suppose it goes back to when in grade school they took us to see the Philharmonic, which is what they called them then, mm-hmm. the Kansas City Philharmonic, and they would prepare us. I had a teacher who would even play the numbers off of a record album. Mm-hmm. Says, this is what you'll be hearing, and this is what it will sound. And in Grand Canyon Suite, can't you just feel yourself streaming down the Colorado River, mm-hmm. which runs through the Grand Canyon? And you can,
yeah.
if it's set up for you properly.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. You have to feel something for that as you go along.
Yeah.
And I assume it works the same for you.
It does, very much. You know, we all have this musical language that we've learned, that we've grown up with. Everything that we take in from our culture informs the way that we hear and understand things. So, you know, when I'm trying to set something and I'm trying to evoke the sound of water or the sound of bees or whatever it is, there's a cultural framework of the kind of sounds that we associate with those ideas. And so there's always obvious and less obvious ways to express that can reliably communicate to somebody who doesn't know what you're doing.
Yeah, my respect for Beethoven, for instance, outstanding. Mm-hmm. He had to remember what all those notes sounded like.
Yeah.
And he had to remember what each instrument sounded like. And he was still able to compose pieces right. based on his memories. He was deaf, if you folks don't know it. Mm-hmm. He had to remember those
yeah.
things. Just think how difficult that would be.
Yep.
Just amazingly difficult.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And we're speaking with Leslie Wood, the artistic director for Ignea Strata. They have a concert coming up. This is your first year doing things, and it's your eighth concert?
Yeah. So we set ourselves a pretty rigorous schedule. So we had two concerts in our last season, starting in January and then in May. Uh-huh. And then we took the summer off to prepare and get ready for this next season. And we started in October with a concert called Pictures, Puzzles, and Prophecy. It was a really fun concert that was music that most people will never hear in any kind of concert setting. And that was really, really fantastic. Lots of strange and unusual music from the Middle Ages. And now we're in our second concert series of this season. So coming up in the spring, in March and in May, we're planning on having two more concerts.
Do you know the where and when? Talk about it. Just take a moment to talk about the where and when. Or is that all ironed out?
Well, it is ironed out unless something changes. But the first weekend in March, we are performing at Country Club Christian Church and St. Paul's Episcopal Church.
Do you have a website where the folks could check this out?
Igneastrata.com. That's IGNEASTRATA.com. Or you could check us out on Facebook. We're there as well.
Yeah. The concert is called Noel Noel. It is the Westport Center for the Arts holiday program, as they put it. It'll feature the group Igneastrata. Leslie Wood, our the artistic director and one of the performers, is with us talking about it today. It'll happen on this Friday, December the 15th. Seldom heard broke gems. That's what the publicity said. And it'll be, go ahead.
Oh, and medieval and Renaissance and 20th century carols.
Yeah, saying a nice mix.
Yeah, very
a mix is important. Mm-hmm. Artists come in here and they'll talk about finding the right mix for a concert is very important. You know, just like it would be a stage play or something like that. Following the right mix. It's at the Westport Presbyterian Church, 201 Westport Road. The website for the Westport Center for the Arts is WCA, Westport Center for the Arts, WCAKC.org. And the website for Igneastrata is Igneastrata, IGNEASTRATA. Is it ORG?
Come.
.com. Mm-hmm. So that means it's more commercial.
Well, not yet, but .coms are cheaper than .orgs. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, interesting. Thank you so much for being with us and telling us about your part of the holiday presentation and where you'll be in the future.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Stay in touch. Yep. Always interesting to hear about all of that. Leslie Wood, the artistic director for Igneastrata, part of the Westport Center for the Arts Holiday Brown Bag Concert this Friday, the 15th of December, 12:10 p.m. It's lunchtime. Yes, that's what the Brown Bag Series does. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
The Jazz Insider is with us today. He has some great things planned. Peeked over his shoulder when he was in the production room. He has some great jazz hits coming up for you. We'll have jazz from 1 to 3. We'll have the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hoge. We'll see you next time.